to order, and just so that everybody, well, first of all, we'll start out with having the committee members introduce themselves. We'll start off to the left. They have the sign out in front of them, but introduce yourself. Tell us the people in attendance, your position, how long you've been on the board, and so on. Starting with youth and governance.
My name is Eddie Carondo, and this is my first meeting as a youth in governance.
Mike Abel, County Supervisor, District 4. This is my second term on the county board.
Please talk closer to the mic.
Mike Abel, this is my second term on the county board. I'm District 4, north side of Kenosha.
Supervisor Aaron Decker, District 22. This is my third term on the board.
I'm Supervisor Doug Noble. I don't know how many terms, but I've been on it for 24 years, and I represent Pleasant Prairie. I have represented before the redistricting. I've represented Bristol for at least 15 or 18 years, something like that. So I've represented both the village and the town. No, I'm just introducing.
Okay. I'm Mike Skolitsky. I'm County Board Supervisor for District 19, of which we're sitting practically in the middle of. This is my second term, and so I represent half of Summers, all of Paris, most of Brighton, and a good chunk of Bristol. So yeah, I've got cover a lot of area, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
My name is Supervisor Greg Retzloff. I represent the 15th District, which is all of Summers, from basically Highway 31 East. This is my first term as a supervisor. I was just recently elected. Thank you.
And maybe the staff can introduce themselves, or Andy.
Hi, I'm Andy Bueller, Director of Planning and Development.
I'm April Webb, Administrative Secretary.
And we have a Corporation Counsel here tonight, which is Jennifer Kropp?
Kopp.
Okay. And tonight, just so everybody knows how this works, we will begin. Andy will begin in the presentation of the items on the agenda, and then we'll ask the petitioner to come forward to the microphones and state your address and what you are requesting to do. And then the committee may ask questions. Then we'll ask the public, anybody in attendance, whether they're coming, whether they want to speak for the petitioner, anything in favor of the petition. And then we'll ask the public if there's anyone who wants to speak against the petition. The last meeting we had a room full of people, and it was a four-hour meeting, so this came into play quite often. And then Andy will tell us what the town recommendation was, and we'll discuss it as a committee and vote for on it, and that'll be that. You know, that'll end the first one, and then we'll move on to the second one and repeat the whole process. So the first one is the rezoning of Century Oaks Farms in Wheeland, and Andy will give us a presentation.
Yes, number six, rezoning of Century Oaks Farms, Wheatland Century Oaks Farms, LLC, 4111 Dyer Lake Road, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Owner, Kenosha County Planning and Development and Extension Education Committee, 19675th Street, Suite 185-3, Bristol, Wisconsin, 53104. As a sponsor, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District, C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, and FPO Floodplain Overlay District to A1 Agricultural Preservation District, C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, and FPO Floodplain Overlay District on tax parcel number 954-219-304-0202 in the town of Wheatland. On the screen, we'll show you the map of this property, and you can see the area that's highlighted in yellow. That's the area of change. This property, this is a low area on the property that many years ago had some ditch work done that you can see kind of running in a north-south direction. The owner would like to return that area back to a viable wetland area for wildlife, and they had a plan drawn up by the Natural Resource Conservancy Organization, and so they, wanting to implement this, they are going to be creating this wetland, which by ordinance of Kenosha County, we automatically revise our zoning district lines to match the new wetland boundary at no cost to the owner. And so with this item being brought forward, staff would recommend to approve that just based upon the wetland change, and we've reviewed it through our conservationist in office. Right. There is no one here to speak on that because it is a sponsored item of the committee.
Okay. So there's no petitioner to speak on it?
There is not, but I can field any questions that you might have regarding it.
Okay. With no petitioner, then we'll move on. Is there anybody here in the public that would like to speak for this petition? Anybody here tonight that would like to speak in favor? All right, seeing none, is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak against? No one against? All right. Andy, any recommendations from the town?
We do. From the town, we have a letter from them. The town board acted on this item at a town board meeting on June 9th, 2014, and approved it.
Okay. Any questions for Andy from the committee or youth and governance?
I make a motion to approve the rezoning.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Deckard, second by Supervisor Goble to approve the rezoning. I guess the comment that I want to make is I think it's quite admirable that the citizen would do this, and we discussed that, Andy and I, and as a group, we've discussed it, so it doesn't happen very often, and it's a good, quite impressive, so. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Youth and governance.
Aye.
I'm
supposed to do you first. Sorry about that. All right. The next item on the agenda then is number 7.
Okay.
Conditional use permit for Keith and Monica Plucker of Brighton.
Yes, and just before getting to that, I just wanted to make it clear that all the items 6 through 9 were posted as a Class 2 notice in the Kenosha News on May 29, 2014 and June 3, 2014. Item number 7 is the conditional use permit of Keith and Monica Plucker, Brighton. Keith and Monica Plucker, 205 West Chestnut Street, Silver Lake, Wisconsin, 53170. Owner requesting an amendment to an existing conditional use permit to allow an expansion of the existing plumbing contractor's business in the B5 Wholesale Trade and Warehouse District on tax parcel number 304-220-312-0410 in the town of Brighton. We'll show on the screen the map of this property. As you can see, kind of in the northeast corner of 308th Avenue and County Trunk Highway NN, the property is highlighted and shown in B5, and you can see the building there, and looking at adding an addition to the southwest corner of the building, and the property owner is here to come forward and can explain in detail why he's looking at wanting to do this and field any questions.
All right. Please come to the microphone. Give us your name, your address, and like Andy said, what your intentions are.
Okay. My name is Keith Plucker. My wife, Monica, been residents of Silver Lake for 27 years. We're owned this building since 2002. Over the years, my business is out of Illinois. We had a shop down there for 10 years. We bought this property in, 2002 to basically expand our household and relocate our house. We own the property right next to it as well, to the east, the R2 zoning. We're right at this moment just looking at expanding the building because of our business was moved from Illinois to this property here because of the building being able to use it for our business use. We load trucks in the morning, we drive to Illinois and do our business down there, and just park our vehicles here at night. Over the years, just keeping the property up and tidy. We've bought a couple equipment, some new equipment to take care of that, a plow truck, a trailer for hauling gravel and stuff to keep the driveway up and everything. but with that in mind, trying to keep up with the conditional use permits, not enough, quite enough room in the building that we have existing to accommodate all that stuff. You know, and I just, like I say, trying to keep the property nice and neat and tidy. We're, you know, just looking at doing that so we can park the trailer and the plow Jeep, and we've got some additional material that, you know, has crept up on us over the last 10 years since the last time we did this that, you know, I just, it's gotten out of hand a little bit, you know, as far as trying to keep it nice and neat to accommodate the neighborhood the way it should be. Now I'm with everybody with trying to keep things nice and neat and tidy. We hired the neighbor kids and everybody, you know, to help with lawn mowing and keeping, maintaining the property. Kept the driveway up, kept everything in tidy shape as possible, resided the building from what it was back when we bought it. The place was pretty much a disaster, overgrown trees, overgrown driveway, overgrown everything. So we spent the last 10 years making the place really nice, and now it's time for a little more room so we can keep it that much nicer and keep our equipment inside where it belongs, and so everybody's happy around the neighborhood like we've kept it. We've got a, you know, acquired a good friendship with all the neighbors, Eppings and across the street. I've known them. I've helped them, you know, with plumbing stuff here and there. And the Sattersons next door to the east, they're great people. You know, we've gotten to know them very well. The young kids that just bought the property to the west of us, we, you know, go over and feed the dogs cookies and stuff like that, and, you know, help them make sure that the dogs stay in the cage and, you know, on their property and stuff. You know, they help them with that. You know, their dog was out tonight. You know, hey, give them a phone call. Hey, your puppy's out. You know, keep the dog at our place for a little bit until they get home so they make sure, you know, taken care of. But no, we're just trying to keep everything nice and neat and tidy, and that's where we're at. So we're just looking at expanding and being able to keep it as neat and nice as possible.
Okay, thank you. Does the committee have any questions for the petitioner?
I'm curious, what is your business?
It's a plumbing contracting business. My whole business is based in Illinois. That's where my plumbing license is located at. You know, like I say, this was kind of a situation where this was supposed to be someplace to store my toys and build a house on the property next door. Well, things changed over the years. 2004, some kids stole a truck, and, you know, the timing went to heck, and the place I had in Illinois for rent, the people I rented from, they had expanded their business to a point where they thought they needed the space that they were renting me more than they needed the rent money, so I ended up moving my shop up here, so this is where we're at. So,
good. Any other questions? Supervisor Skoliski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Booker, I see that you have your business, and there is a, looks like a residence to the west and a residence to the east.
Correct.
You've got good relationship with them. Any right. issues with regards to an expansion of your business? Have you talked to them?
Absolutely.
And they're supportive of it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. R2, the one right next to the B5 on the east side, that one belongs to myself. You know, I've paid, you know, taxes, everything else. The one just east of that, yeah. With the pool and all that, that belongs to the Sattersons. They're great neighbors. We get along with them very well. We actually stay in their cabin up north. You know, so, yeah, no, we've got a very good relationship with all the neighbors.
Okay. You know, and no issues or concerns in their part?
No, we help plow their driveways. We do all kinds of stuff together, you know, so it's been a very good relationship.
And the B5 designation for your business there has been in place for a number of years, right?
Yes, correct. Okay. That was started, well, when we bought the two properties.
It was already zoned that way.
When we bought the two properties, it was actually zoned M1. In 2005, we adjusted all this so we could incorporate, you know, in planning on building a house. Well, then, you know, things have changed, you know, like say with the economy, things got tight. Our daughter and son-in-law moved right next door to us in Silver Lake, so that kind of slowed things down a little bit with building the house up here. So,
great.
Yeah.
So all right, just want to make sure that we get these business residential mixtures.
Yeah, we keep it as low impact as possible. Like I say, we drive in quiet, we leave quiet, we keep the place clean and night, you know, tidy, and get along with everybody. So,
how many square feet are you looking to add on?
What is it? It's going to be 50 by 80.
Okay, yeah, and the building currently is roughly?
It's 35 by 60 now.
Right,
so we keep a couple trucks inside. It's just so tight, there's not enough room to get another trailer. The, you know, like say, okay. I bought a plow truck to keep the driveway plowed in the wintertime, and you know, it just gets kind of tight that way. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you were going to do some landscaping along the property line between you and the neighbor to your west?
On the west side, yeah. There were some spots that we had planted back in 05. and the trees have grown, and it's making a nice, you know, like a natural fence line. There was a couple spots that we thought the trees would fill in a little better. They hadn't. So I had actually, in the last month, I've relocated some, you know, trees, you know, the same type of tree to fill in the gaps. So, you know, like I say, it's just kind of a noise boundary, I guess you might say, and just to keep things looking nice and neat.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think I just would want to bring up for the committee that with the conditions, I mean, you've read them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because item number five is that existing old outbuildings would be raised.
That's gone.
Yeah. And then the other one was the fact that some of the gravels kind of extended over the east property line, and I think there was the...
Well, it was closer than the 20-foot line, I guess, you know, and that's something we'll just work out. I guess once the building is up, we'll just have to...
Right,
you know, we'll make
that
work out so we're within accordance, I guess, you know, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak in favor of this petition? Anybody that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anybody that would like to speak against? Anybody here opposed? All right, seeing none for that. Recommendation from the town?
Town of Brighton Town Board met on May 12, 2014. The item passed 3-0.
I make a motion to approve the conditional use permit.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, second by Supervisor Skaleski. Any further discussion? Seeing none, youth and governance? And the committee?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Are anybody opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, ladies.
And we're going to have you sign the conditions.
Eddie, our man.
Give him a minute then. All right, number eight, the rezoning of the Donald P. Henn in Paris.
Number eight, rezoning Donald P. Henn in Paris. Donald P. Henn, 3725 15th Street, Apartment 1A, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53144. Owner, Jeff Backe, 1520 136th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin, 53182. Agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agriculture Preservation District and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District to A1 Agriculture Preservation District, R1 Rural Residential District, C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District on tax parcel number 454-221-111-0301 in the town of Paris. The map on this property is shown on the screen. You can see the call-out areas. Basically, you're looking at creating a square of the blue area, kind of the highlighted yellow area in this area here, which is going to be the area to create two additional parcels. And so there is the need to address some of the wetlands that are out on the property and get those zoned correctly, and also to zone a portion of the kind of western property that's highlighted in blue to R1 to allow for these 5-acre parcels. And the person that's looking at wanting to purchase this property is here that can explain in detail.
All right, the petitioner knows the drill. He's already, if he wants to explain what you're going to do.
Jeff Bagke, 1520 136th Avenue, Union Grove. Just a correction, I'm actually the owner at the time of filing. It was agent, so I do own this now. I'd like to correct, I guess it's kind of somewhat of a correction on the 2035 land use map. This all does show as it shows on the screen. So just kind of getting the zoning updated to what the situation or the ground actually is there. And then on the north side, I want to divide off two lots once it's zoned correctly for resale for our new home sites.
Okay, in the wooded section there?
Yeah, correct. There's 1,300 feet of frontage, and the lots would be 310 wide by 701 deep. So that would be taking 10 acres out of a 70-acre parcel.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Questions? Is there anybody in attendance tonight that would like to speak in favor? Anybody in favor? Is there anybody that would like to speak against? Nobody opposed? All right.
I got one more thing. I just think it's somewhat of a correction. This was talked about between me and Ben, that there will be no R1. We wanted the town wants the whole thing to be a C2 in that back section there. That's why we had fattened them up and shortened them up. And Ben had said that it would be such a small sliver of farmland that you guys would be okay with making the whole parcel C2 and C1.
Yeah, there was some discussion on that, and we can address
that
here.
I'm pretty sure the map you're showing is the first one, that the blue area shouldn't be as big as when Ben revised it. It's about half of that.
I'm not clear on what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was some discussions in going back with the town of Paris in regards to the fact they were concerned about the R1 designation to make up the additional land that was needed to be able to create 2 5-acre parcels beyond the C2 area. C2 is the upland woodland area that does allow parcels to be created at 5 acres, but they were going to, it was going to extend a little bit into the farmland. And so it was proposed originally with the application for it to be going to R1, and the town was a little concerned about that, and so there was discussion to see if that could be eliminated and for the parcels to be made wider, which I think is what you're saying.
We added 10, originally they were 300 wide, we added 10 feet to each, so they're 310, so that shortened up our depth then.
Right, and so I think with that then what the proposal was is that the C2 would be extending just slightly into the
field,
and
Ben had felt
no R1 was needed,
so
and
I guess R1 and C2 are basically the same rules as far as building and stuff goes, that I just want to make sure the town's happy when I leave here too, that we did what they wanted. Obviously they approved it the way it's listed,
right,
with the R1, but they would rather see it C2.
That's correct. They did do that, and now that you brought that up, I did recall that, but I don't have that map. Do we have anything additional at all? I mean, basically what would end up happening is that we would be asking the committee to amend the request to not reflect the R1 zoning change. Everything else would remain the same, but it would be removing the change from A1 to R1.
Leaving it A1?
That area would remain A1 because, as he had indicated, he was going to make the lots wider and then not as deep, and so it wasn't going to go into the farm field as far.
Yeah, this one I got.
Is 527. Yeah, so this was corrected to be 310 feet wide by 701 feet deep as opposed to 750 feet deep that was opposed. So it was going to shrink up 50 feet in depth.
But he still would need some R1, wouldn't he?
The decision was that being that it was going to be so small that it wasn't worth creating a sliver that was going to be that small of R1, and so then it was just going to, we're going to let the C2 bleed into that area of the farm field.
Which is, it's somewhere around 20, 25 feet, so it's pretty minimal.
Right.
We just didn't want to see any R1 on the site.
And that's what the town preferred?
Correct.
I do recall that now. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have that because they approved...
This was all discussed after the fact. I mean, they approved as presented, but they preferred to be C2.
Well, what do you think, Andy? What's your thoughts? It seems logical to me. But
yeah, we can work with that, and I'm sorry that I don't have the map to show that, but what basically I said is that we would then, if the committee so chooses, they would be approving this with the amendment to remove the area that's being proposed from A1 to R1.
And then you'd have the proper map before we vote on it on the county board.
Right, we would just make sure that the map would reflect that for 2 weeks.
I make a motion to amend the rezoning to remove the A1.
No, the R1.
R1.
I'm sorry, the R1 and leave it A1.
Second.
But to still approve it?
Well, so we're doing the amendment first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a motion to amend the map, eliminating the R1 and leaving it A1 by Supervisor Decker, seconded by Supervisor Goble. Any discussion on that? Further discussion? Seeing none, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
And the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing no one opposed, it's unanimous. Then we have a motion or...
I make a motion to approve the rezoning as amended.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor Decker to approve as amended, and second by Supervisor Goble. Any questions on the question? Seeing none, Youth and Governance? And the committee? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Seeing no one opposed, it's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then we have, I need a motion to take number 9 off the table.
I make a motion to remove number 9 from the table.
Second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to remove a number 9 from the table and seconded by Supervisor Goble. All those in favor, including Youth and Governance, say aye.
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 Opposed? It's off the good. We're off the table.
So item 9 is the conditional use permit for D&T Properties Salem. Request of D&T Properties 1731 216th Avenue, Union Grove, Wisconsin 53182. Owner, Dr. Mary Sue Lux, West Osha Veterinary Hospital 903 South 2nd Street, Silver Lake, Wisconsin 53170. Agent, requesting a conditional use permit to allow veterinary service in the B2 Community Business District on tax parcel number 654-120-091-0243 in the town of Salem. So just to review for everyone, the property here you can see is highlighted in yellow, just south of Highway 50. I wanted to also show the committee the revised site plan that was done based upon the fact that at the last meeting the item was tabled to allow for the property owner and the neighbors to get together, hosted by our department, to talk over the issues that were raised at the last meeting and see if there could be resolution to that. We did meet last week with all of the parties mentioned and were able to come to a resolution. This is the site plan that was actually presented at that meeting to show a berm on the east property line with planting of evergreen trees. That would be a mixed type of evergreen trees. I think this is actually a modification of the one that was shown at the meeting, because at the meeting the owners wanted to have the plantings be farther north, right up to the right-of-way. It was originally shown to have a little bit of a gap there to allow the people to be able to see pulling out of their driveway, but they indicated that wasn't necessary due to the fact that you can see the large right-of-way in front here before you get to their property. So that's basically what happened. All the issues were brought out into the table. This was the main one, and for that fact, the neighbors decided they felt that all their issues were resolved and it wasn't necessary for them to appear tonight, we said we were going to present this to the board as the resolution, and maybe Mary Sue can add anything additional. I think before doing that, just need to let you all know is that in the conditional use permit, there is asking for a reduction of the setback requirement of being 100 feet from all property lines. It's still 66 feet from the east property line. It wasn't moved any further than what was originally shown in their original submittal for the conditional use permit. And I think the in the conditional use permit, we did add, as opposed from yesterday when the question was brought up in regards to potential for overnight kenneling, there was a condition put in there on that, and statement just that this planting would be constructed and put in place during initial grading, so that could be in place kind of at the get-go instead of waiting at the end. That was kind of all agreed upon at the meeting.
Okay.
So, Mary Sue, do you have anything else to add with that?
I don't think so. Just that we said we would do the grading. We couldn't plant the trees right away, though, until, you know, things settle. You can't put the trees on loose dirt. And then as far as the kenneling, I mean, there is going to be an occasional dog that's going to be hospitalized. But we're not planning on doing boarding. Or mm-hmm. maybe some cats, too. So, but it's not a boarding. We don't do boarding as any for any other reason as, you know, that they would be dropped off maybe the night before or something like that.
So that's item number, that's condition number six that just says, subject to no outdoor kennels, enclosures, or pens being constructed or utilized on the property, any animals brought outside by the hospital's employees or clients must be, well, that's the other item, it was brought up, leash controlled or continuously in the presence of a handler. Number five is the one about the overnight boarding, subject to no overnight boarding taking place on the property except for emergency cases, subtractory, not to be used as a kennel. If the current tenant or any subsequent tenant desires to utilize said facility as a kennel, then this conditional use permit must be revised by the Town of Salem and Kenosha County. And then item seven was a new condition that just stated about the subject landscaping material to be planted along the east property line consisting of mixed evergreens being at least 5 to 6 feet at the time of planting, subject berm and landscaping is to be installed during initial grading. So those were the three new conditions besides this new site plan that's being entered in before you tonight.
I guess I'd like to clarify the difference between a kennel and a boarding kennel. I mean, a kennel is just a physical place that an animal is placed in. So, I mean, I just got this afternoon, so. But I think your concern is that it was a boarding facility with outdoor kennels. Was that correct, Mr. Noble? I know that you had brought that up last time.
That was what was mentioned, I think, by the committee about the concern with the kennel. And I think, at least with this, it's just saying that overnight boarding is only based upon emergencies, which I think you stated at the last meeting would be the situation that would occur when there would be an overnight stay, and that you're not a
boarding kennel.
Right.
We are a vet hospital, and sometimes animals stay overnight.
Yeah. So okay. It would be just medical.
Medical. Emergency. Yeah. I don't know if it would be an emergency, but it would be a medical situation, or you know, coming in the night before for a procedure the next day.
So would it just be that, except for medical reasons?
Yeah, maybe, because I don't want to limit to emergency, you know.
I mean, if the committee's okay with that, we could change that to medical.
Well, it's going to be pets in there.
Emergency.
It might not be an emergency basis.
I understand.
So, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then should the words kennel be removed and changed to boarding? Because the way
maybe, yeah.
That it should subject property not to be used for boarding.
Yeah.
And subsequent tenant desires to utilize it, or if the current tenant or any subsequent tenant desires to utilize said facility as for boarding, then this conditional use permit must be revised.
Yeah, maybe as a boarding kennel?
I think both words would probably need to be, because kennel is in the ordinance. So that's why we use that term, kennel.
Versus hospital?
Right. So
okay.
I think, if anything,
maybe that's where
you
I'm
could
confused.
Use boarding/kennel.
Okay.
So we could just, wherever it says kennel, we would put boarding/kennel as an amendment.
Yeah, okay. I just don't want to limit myself.
Right. And I understand that,
yeah.
But in the ordinance, it does refer to the overnight stay of animals as a kennel.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that'll
I gotcha.
Clarify things up if we
yeah.
do that.
And then replace the word emergency with medical?
right, from medical cases.
Yeah, that would be better.
Okay. Do you have to change all that right now, or just scratch it?
We can approve it as with amended.
Yeah, and then we'll type up a new one, and then have her sign it.
Yeah, right.
You just won't be able to have her sign it.
Well, she can sign it because she's going to sign the last page.
Okay. Have you read the rest of it?
Yeah.
Okay. But I have not asked for people in the public. I don't know. First of all, are there any other people on the committee that have any questions before we ask for citizens' comments? Anybody?
Mr. Chairman?
I am required to ask twice, just that's why I'm asking, even though I know one's not here. Yes, Mike?
I don't necessarily have questions, but I want to commend staff, Dr. Lutz, and to getting together with your prospective neighbors here and working out at least a amenable agreement that we could come to a compromise, because you will be next to each other for many years, hopefully, and I just wanted to commend you for taking the time to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll ask for four, and then you can do that. Okay. Any other supervisor questions? I will now ask for anybody in the public that would like to speak for this petition. Is there anybody that would like to speak for? Is there anybody that would like to speak against? Anyone opposed? All right, seeing none, Andy, recommendation from the town?
Yeah, and with that, I'm just going to state that this item was also posted as a class notice for the first time on May 1st and May 6th, 2014. Otherwise, from the Town of Salem, the Town of Salem Town Board met on April 14th, 2014, and the motion carried on a 4-1 vote.
4-1, okay. Supervisor Decker.
I'd just like to make a comment that I received a phone call from not the next door neighbor, but the neighbor, and he was thankful that we tabled the issue so they could discuss it with Dr. Lutz and work everything out, and they were happy that we did that so that things could be worked out and compromised. So thank you. And with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve the conditional use permit with the amendments we mentioned earlier.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Goebel to approve the conditional use permit with amendment. Any on the question? All right, for the vote, youth and governance?
Aye.
And the committee, all those in favor say aye.
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 Oppose?
Unanimous.
It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Oh boy, you can start voting dirt.
Yeah.
You can start voting dirt.
Well.
So we have number 10 first?
Yes.
Review and possible approval of ordinance?
Yeah, number 10 is for a proposed amendment to the Kenosha County General Zoning and Shoreland Floodplain Zoning Ordinance, amending the Floodplain Overlay Zoning District boundaries based on revisions to the flood profiles made effective May 13th, 2014 by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, through a letter of map revision. I'll show you the map for this property. So Carthage College was going to be doing work on their ball diamonds, and their ball diamonds are in the floodplain, and so they were going to be doing some filling. As a result of the filling, it was going to affect the floodplain downstream. Because of that, they were required to go through the proper channels of having a public notices and drawing up plans to show the change in the flood profiles downstream. So on the screen, you can see the areas that are in pinkish color. The blue is the floodplain. The pink is the areas where it was increased due to the filling. This is basically going before the committee for approval so we can change our floodplain overlay district boundary of the zoning ordinance to match that which was approved by FEMA. We are charged by FEMA to have our maps reflect theirs, and everything was done on the end for this to take place, and this is the last step in the process, basically, to amend the map so they both are the same. The flood maps have already been approved and were effective as of May 13th. So we are recommending the change so both maps will be concurrently the same.
There's no petition on that, right?
No.
And then do I ask for and against? It's a public hearing, yeah.
Okay.
All right, there's no petitioner on this, but the public hearing, I still need to ask for citizens that are for this petition. Any citizens for? Any citizens opposed to this petition? Anybody here against this petition? And do we have a recommendation from a town on this or not?
There is none.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the ordinance.
Have a comment.
Okay, well, give me a second and I'll let you have a comment.
I'll second it. By
motion by Supervisor Decker to approve, second by Supervisor Retzlaff. Supervisor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a sort of a, when we were talking about this, just as a procedure or just an education to me, that when letters go out to our constituents about something like this, do the supervisors get a copy of this?
April, maybe you can ask that. And this one, this
on anyone.
Yeah, in regards to any item, mean on the agenda?
Any of anything that we're doing, that's a letter is going out to people saying, by the way, this is about to happen. If you have a complaint, please show up. Or do the supervisors that represent that district get a copy of that letter?
Currently, it does not go to the supervisor of the district.
I think we should think about that, where when this goes out, the supervisor's area that this is affected should get that, because he or she may want to know about it, and I think it's our responsibility. This isn't a big deal, but there's people in Summers that are losing a few feet of land because it's going to a floodplain. Now, they had a chance to talk about that, and I'm okay with that. It's probably not great land, but I think it's our responsibility to make sure that our constituents totally understand that, and I think they rely on us to make sure we're doing our due diligence representing them, because a lot of them don't understand this. They don't understand the county. They don't understand FEMA, etc. So, Mr. Chairman, it's just a thought on this. We don't have to do this tonight, but maybe on an agenda item for maybe the executive committee or our committee later to think about that. So.
I think it's a Supervisor Decker.
Just on that same line, just so you're aware, when there's things that go before the Board of Adjustments, we do get that information mailed to us.
Yeah, I was going to say I recall getting things from the Board of Adjustments, but I can't remember, but I think we got them. Did we ever back in the day?
Letters go out to the surrounding neighbors the week before the meeting, which is also the same day that your packets go out. So your notification that this is on the agenda is in your agenda packet. It's on the agenda. And you would see it at that time that it's in your district. So that's why we don't share the letter that staff sends out. It's just a generic letter where we mark on it that an item's going to be on the agenda, it's in your neighborhood, and it's either a conditional use permit or rezoning, something like that. It's not a real detailed letter, so that if they do have questions, they can call our office or they can come to the meeting and voice their opinions. So your supervisor notifications, you give you the packet because you get it the week before.
Yeah. But he means, and I think this is a good idea, let's say the supervisor for a town that's not on this committee, he should possibly be advised, or, you know, right now Supervisor Retzlaff is fortunate that he's on the committee, but if he wasn't, he wouldn't know about it, and it's in his district.
That supervisor is notified that item is on the agenda. if that has been happening, I can double check with Carly because that's part of her responsibility.
Okay, that's fine. That should be happening. Then double check it then.
Yeah, I guess we'll check into that to make sure that's happening because even in the application, it's the name of the supervisor of the district is required to be submitted, and that's being done for a purpose so that everyone is aware and gets notified of the item.
City and village.
Right.
Everyone else is on the committee.
Right. All right.
Motion's on the floor.
Motion's on the floor. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? Youth and governance? Aye?
Aye.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Then we have number 11. Where there's three of them that were referred back from county board. Andy?
Right. We have items 11, 12, and 13. Item 11 is a resolution 8. Number 12 is ordinance number 4. Number 13 is ordinance number 5. This is regarding the Ann M. Burke, trustee of Ann M. Burke Revocable Trust. These items were referred back to the Planning Development Extension Education Committee from the Kenosha County Board on May 20, 2014 to address whether county approval of this application would fully resolve all issues raised in the notice of injury and notice of claim served on Kenosha County on July 15, 2013. We have Jennifer Kopp from our Corporation Council here to explain this procedure and the information regarding this.
Is there anybody here representing Mr. Burke or the trust? All right, does not.
There you go. All right, I'll provide just kind of a brief background since I'm not sure if everyone is familiar with the Burke claim and the history, and then I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'll answer the question that was posed by Supervisor Rose at the county board meeting. There has been an ongoing dispute with Mr. Burke in the trust in the county for a number of years. I think it goes back to the 1980s. Essentially, there has been a desire on Mr. Burke's part to subdivide his property. And when this started back in the 80s, my understanding was he was told very specifically what the zoning ordinance required. He had to make a dedication of a certain part of the road, the right-of-way. He had to work with the town. There had to be some improvements. Every so often it would surface, the issue would surface, the parties would come close to reaching an agreement. Sometimes they'd do the dedication, sometimes they won't, and it would fall apart. Kenosha County was always very consistent in telling Mr. Burke and his various attorneys that the zoning ordinance required certain things, and then that's what had to be done. He disagreed with it for a number of years. It surfaced again back in May of 2013, I believe, or July of 2013, there was a notice of claim that was filed. In this notice of claim, he made a number of allegations, state law violations, federal rights claims, things of that nature. The county disallowed that claim. We denied it. We essentially said we didn't see that there was any liability there. The parties continued to talk, and we again said what was required under the zoning ordinance. At this time, what I believe was presented was Mr. Burke did the road dedication, met with the town, agreed to do some improvements, and the parties moved forward. Supervisor Rose asked essentially whether or not there was a release that was executed. The simple answer is no, there wasn't a release, and it would be our position that it would be in, we would advise against requiring any such written release. Like I said, been our position that if Mr. Burke follows the zoning ordinance, if he does what the zoning ordinance requires, goes through the right procedures, he'll be treated like anyone else is, that applies for zoning permits or makes certain zoning applications. That's what was done. There was the public hearing. It was approved. It was sent to the county board. If a county board was to hypothetically condition the approval of any such zoning application on a release or say that they want to get something in return, arguably, that would be problematic and could expose the county to certain liability. It's not in our zoning ordinance. It's not something that we require. And again, it's not something that we would ask or ask somebody to submit with a zoning application. Instead, we're treating it the same as we would anyone else. After it was sent back to the committee, I did have some conversations with Attorney Blackburn just to explain what had happened and that there was the concern. He sent a letter, I believe you all have a copy, that says he does believe that if the petitions or the applications are approved, it will essentially alleviate and satisfy the parties. They have no desire to pursue litigation. He doesn't think that it would go anywhere, and essentially both parties would be happy. We appreciate him sending that. We didn't ask him to send it. We didn't tell him that it was necessary to send that. We wouldn't do that. But it does sort of give the county board some assurance that Mr. Burke does not intend to pursue litigation if this goes forward. Again, I don't think it's something that this committee or the county board should look at. We think you should look at what was submitted and what was done in accordance with our zoning ordinance and go forward from there. Does that answer the question?
Yes. Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Skolitsky.
Did you have any conversations with Supervisor Rose? Because it cleared our committee. Gordon got hung up on the board.
Right.
Did you have any chance to clarify for him so he doesn't make a grandstand again?
We have not. We can try to do that before it comes to the county board the next time.
And I may be incorrect in this, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I thought he was the only one that had a concern or an issue, legitimate or not. And,
right.
And so that's why I'm just maybe encouraging Bart.
Yep. We can make sure someone from our office does try to reach out to Supervisor Rose before the next county board meeting. And just so that everyone is clear, like I said, that letter that Attorney Blackburn sent was nice to sort of state the party's understanding. It's not a legal document. There's no guarantees that there wouldn't be a lawsuit, you know, somewhere down the road, and we couldn't make that promise or assurance about things that might happen in the future. And I think that's the assurances that Supervisor Rose was looking for, is that there will never be a lawsuit or a claim. And unfortunately, that's not something that we can promise. We can just enforce our ordinance and treat them the same way that we do everyone else.
Thank you.
But we will try to clarify that with Supervisor Rose.
Supervisor Decker.
I fully believe that what we voted on last month aligns with our ordinances, so I'd like to make a motion to send it back to the county board floor.
All three of them?
Second.
All three, number 11,
all
12,
three.
And 13.
Okay. So, motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Skolitsky to send number 11, 12, and 13 back to the county board floor. Is it your turn to preside over that meeting that night?
I believe Attorney Cardamone is going to be at that meeting because he's got a number of other issues, I believe,
okay,
that will be addressed. But
then
we will make sure, and we've had quite a number of discussions in our office just among all of us, and I know that we all have the same.
So he's up to speed this time now.
He knows what's going on.
Okay.
Yes.
And
he knew the last time. It was just too late to get it back to the.
And you, though, or somebody will talk to Supervisor Rose.
Yes.
Hopefully he will not object, and we won't have two attorneys, you know, discussing it. All right. Any other questions then? Supervisor Goble, did you have one? All right. Youth and Governance. And all those in favor from the committee, say aye.
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 And opposed? Seeing none, it's unanimous. Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay. And just so the committee's aware, I will plan on staying through the presentation on the mobile cell tower ordinance as well. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Okay, so we're ready for the presentation on the proposed ordinance amendment for the cell towers.
Right. So,
item 14 is the presentation of the proposed mobile tower siting ordinance amendment to Chapter 12 Kenosha County General Zoning and Shoreland Floodplain Zoning Ordinance. We're not bringing this before the committee to vote on. We're basically just was going to give an overview of what took place, what we're working on, why we did that, and the fact that we will then have to go before the towns and ask for their review and approval of this before this committee can act on it. So the state legislature last year in the budget changed the rules as to how mobile towers ordinances can be in effect. In a sense, they nullified all the existing ordinances that were on the books for mobile towers, mainly because almost all of them required conditional use permits for such siting. And the budget bill stated exactly with what can be done for siting a tower and even listed some things that can't be done. And so being that the fact, we worked with Corp Council over a number of months. One, it took a long time because we needed to try to clarify what the rule actually meant because it was written very poorly. And with that, it allowed all the counties and all the municipalities in the state to get a lot of discussion going at different conferences. And so there was a lot of collaboration trying to understand what this is and how to move forward. Once that started moving, we felt that, I guess, once it started moving enough ahead where we could understand and people seemed to have a complete clarification of what this meant, we felt it was appropriate for us to start moving forward and write an ordinance that would meet the state law. And so we sought after different ordinances that were being presented, worked with Corp Council, as I had indicated, and we feel that we've put together an ordinance that meets exactly the law. In essence, the county is not able to work under the way it used to with issuing conditional use permits for any cell tower, new cell tower, or any addition to a cell tower. We are allowed to issue a permit for them, subject to the fact that they meet the criteria that's stated in the law. And so we are doing that, and I don't know, maybe if you have anything else to add to generalize on that for the committee. I think we feel pretty comfortable with what we have that meets the law. That does leave some area open for question where it didn't say anything. And I think, again, we feel that we're being conservative and being judicious from a standpoint that we're covering some aspects to make sure that the cell towers are located in the proper location, that they have proper distance from other cell towers so that we don't have multiple cell towers right next to each other, and that they actually deal as best as possible with the appearance of the tower.
Yeah, and basically what this new law did is limit the ability of local zoning to regulate cell towers. And so they said that basically here's a list of four things that you can ask people for, and if they submit these items and these documents, their application is deemed complete, and then you have to sort of evaluate it on that sense. And then they gave a laundry list of about 20 things that you can no longer do. And it was nothing that Kenosha County did, to my knowledge. It would be, you know, things like you can't say that they can only be placed in a person in one location and then require a benefit. You can't regulate them solely on aesthetic concerns. It's a very sort of extensive list of things that it said you could not do. So what municipalities were left trying to determine is, well, what can we do? And does it fit into one of the exceptions that they've now said we can't do? It said you can't require that it be put in certain places. And it's going to be something that I think at some point someone might try to challenge and try to figure out exactly how far we can go. But we're trying to, as Andy said, still have some control, some regulation like we have, and be consistent with what other local municipalities are doing.
Yeah, I think also the Village of Pleasant Prairie had put forth, at least in Kenosha County, they're the first ones, I think, that have actually put forth an ordinance that to replace our existing ordinance on mobile cell tower locations, and we reviewed that, and it may say things a little bit differently in different ways, but basically in essence we're in concert kind of with that. So I guess we're showing that consistency at least in the county and with the village, and I'm sure the city is going to be reviewing both of those as well and trying to come up with something that is also consistent.
Right.
Any questions from the committee for either Andy or Corporation Council? Okay, thank you. And then we don't have any certified surveys, right?
Correct. We have no certified surveys today.
Approval of the minutes. I did notice one thing on the minutes. It said the meeting was called to order by Chairman Bruni. That should be changed.
Good catch.
I also found another.
What was that? The youth and governance what?
I had the youth and governance vote. That was I, and they both voted nay at the last meeting.
Oh, yes, they did.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to approve the minutes, second by Supervisor Goble. On the question, youth and governance.
Aye.
And the committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Citizens' comments. Any one citizen, then? Do you have a comment? No comments? All right. Any other business allowed by law? The only thing I can think of is we've been struggling with it, that the work
time.
The work meeting that traditionally, well, right now it's scheduled for noon on Tuesday, and we thought that that might work in the summer anyways for the youth and governance representatives. But Supervisor Goble now apparently has a conflict with noon.
Yeah, I'm on hold, so maybe the second Tuesday ever.
Okay.
When you were doing 11, that was fine.
Yeah. But yeah, but you probably wouldn't be. Well, you can't do Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
No, I have a school board meeting.
Yeah.
Second Tuesday of the month. At 5:30.
On Monday? Is that?
Just Monday? Would Monday be too early at 5 o'clock? Oh, I don't know. How about supervisors? I don't know if they have other committee meetings on Mondays or. I can't do Monday during the summer, but if we could keep it at 12 until, you know, like September or something. But how would Monday?
You mean Mondays at noon? Is that what you're saying?
No, Monday at 5.
In the summer, you're saying?
No, once we get to fall.
Oh, once we get to fall.
When's your public works meeting?
Monday's first Monday.
First Monday.
This would be the second Monday, though, wouldn't it?
Sometimes it
is the first Monday.
Sometimes it's the first Monday. That would be the first Monday. There are some months where.
But if we're meeting at 5, that's not until 6:30. Would Monday be too early? I mean, you've traditionally always done it at. I know you have expressed a desire to try to do it at after, you know, so youth and governance could do it during school hours.
Right. I don't think April, can you think of any reason why that wouldn't work at all? I mean, I don't think that changes anything.
Yeah, it's Monday at 5, public works committee meeting might fall on, yeah.
But otherwise, from a standpoint of information that we have, I mean, we are always waiting for final information from some towns that do meet Monday night, and then the town of Summers meets on Tuesday night, so even when we're on Tuesday, we don't always have all that information. But, I mean, we still have all the information in regards to what was submitted. So that, I mean, I guess that could still, it could still work.
Okay.
Can Retzloff get out of work and Skolitsky?
How about Skolitsky and Retzloff?
So you're talking about the second Monday at 5?
Well, it could sometimes be the first.
Services meets Mondays, 6:30.
It would never be the first?
It could be the first Monday. In most cases, it's going to be the second Monday. I'm just looking at the calendar right on the screen there. For instance, let's see here. I saw, like,
it would be October.
Yeah, so like April, we were on the 9th, and the first Monday was the 7th. So in April, that would have not worked. Right.
In October.
Yeah, but October we have our budget meeting, so I don't think we have.
Yeah, October would be another one of those situations.
April of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
July.
I guess, would there be?
Well, if they have public work, that's not till 6:30, though, right?
6:30.
And these are generally an hour.
I have public works. He has human services.
Okay.
He's way downtown.
Yeah, that's downtown.
Oh, okay.
So and I have human services too.
Yes, Aaron's on the line.
Oh.
And so does he.
Well, would there? I mean, I think that one reason why we were doing it on a Tuesday is because it was right before Wednesday, and it allowed everyone just to kind of have all that information fresh in their minds before the meeting. So that's one thing of considering, but I guess it wouldn't necessarily negate the fact that we could meet the week before at any one of those days too, if that works. Anyone that can attend, we can do it through WebEx. We've obviously done that the last two meetings.
Human services. You're going to do yours at 5, so you know, if I have to cut out at 10 after 6, you know, they usually don't take
long. How fast do you drive?
You may have, I live about 2 miles. You may have to come downtown and sit in the county boardroom.
We're going from one inconvenience in one person to 3, so I'm on. I voted against Monday, first Monday. And that's, I got my problems.
Can we do it earlier than 5 on Tuesdays, like 4? Or no? I don't know what time.
No.
5 is the earliest you could get
here.
Yeah,
that'd be the fastest I could get here.
I mean, otherwise, I mean, if we can try to schedule for next month at some time and, you know, still think through, maybe we have to just talk. The next time we meet on Tuesday, everyone kind of has to look at what times work. Maybe you guys can communicate amongst yourselves or something.
Would 4:30 work for you?
Or we meet the next time?
I could still do a WebEx then at 4:30.
Yeah, I got to be... Yeah, 4:30 could work. Well, you know what? Next month doesn't matter. I don't have a meeting next month. Well, 4:30, if the meeting only lasts like 45 minutes, I could zoom to Wheatland by 5:30. I could just leave early.
What about 4:30 on Tuesday?
I'm open all Tuesday anytime.
Tuesday's good. How about you, Mike? 4:30? I mean, I could do 4:30, but I still might have to do the WebEx, but at least I could participate.
And the issue, Doug, is during 11 o'clock, that just doesn't work in your schedule right now, even with the WebEx, correct?
Well, I guess we could stay with 11 o'clock.
Or noon? Which one's better?
11 or noon's better for me, but 11 I could still do, I guess.
Because noon was fine with me yesterday.
I mean, Doug, you're way up.
Right. I can't make it here, yeah. But I do the WebEx.
And Mike, what was your situation with noon?
That's right.
I got the home calls web on the second Tuesday.
I don't see how the 11 would work for you unless you did a WebEx too.
Yeah, I just go down and sit at the home council and sit at the county building or place I'm only, you know, 10 minutes from any place in Kenosha.
So at noon on Tuesday, you could do the WebEx?
He can't at noon.
At 11, you could do the WebEx on Tuesdays.
I prefer to stay
at noon. Stay at noon?
Yeah. Stay with either 11 or noon.
I agree.
We've got the option of WebEx. We used to not have that option. It's a new option, relatively speaking.
Right.
And it does allow them for you to participate and understand what's going on the screen and get the information without tying up another email.
Yeah. I did the first one on WebEx, which was that huge meeting. And, I mean, we were on the phone quite a long time. I was able to follow it very well. So this other meeting, the shorter one, was easy to follow. I don't care. I mean, 11.
We could do it 11:30 or noon. I'm okay with either one. Yeah. Noon is fine with me.
Yeah.
If that helps a little bit, then let's try that.
But he can't do noon.
He can't make noon.
Oh, can't make.
So he 11. Does 11 work for you two down there? If we go back to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we don't get the youth and governance ever involved.
Well, he's got the summer.
True.
Okay. Do you have classes at 11?
Well,
they're used to meeting.
Really, it's just a work session. You're right. They'll have 3 opportunities to see what goes on in these work sessions, and that should work for them.
Yeah.
So we're back to 11.
I guess we're back to 11.
Okay.
Yeah. I love the bench.
Okay, the Tuesday before the meeting. 11 o'clock is what we'll do.
Yeah, would you let the county clerk know then to change it?
Yeah, we will, because April sends the information down to them.
Okay. I mean, so that she puts it in the book if they ever reprint that
book. Oh, in the book. Yeah. I don't think that book's going to be reprinted until next year.
Probably not.
Yeah. I'll have to contact her.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other business allowed by law?
I was just going to let the committee know that next month I will not be here. I'll be on vacation, so Ben Fiebelkorn of our office will be... we'll be sitting here. I think there's maybe four items, and so, I mean, he did fill in for me last year. I believe everything went fine.
We fumbled along.
So, in any case, I just wanted to be aware of that, and there are about four items, I think, for that one, and that's all that I have, except also to welcome the new youth in governments. Thank you.
Are we going to do the... on the next agenda that you're not here, is that when we're doing the Pikes Creek watershed?
I thought that maybe we just wait till August, since there's no timing, just when I am here, just so that it can flow through.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker to adjourn, second by Supervisor Goble. Youth and Governance. And the committee, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned.